Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yep, my man Jack Ham was actually in State College today and posed with his 33 jersey today with no name on the back, along with Kenny Jackson, Bob White, Todd Kulka, Wally Richardson, Justin Kerpakis, Keith Conlon, Todd Rucci, and Spider Caldwell. So that was nice that they did that. But Jack was up there today, and so they're bringing back no names on the jerseys. 800-795-9565. You want to jump in and talk about that? We'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Do you like it? Do you like the fact that they're returning to the tradition that was there for 125 years? That'd be great. We'd love to hear from you. We've already heard from several people today, either by Facebook, email, or on the air at 800-795-9565. And so far, the reaction has been actually universal, with the exception of Kevin, who said they like having the names off the jerseys because of the tradition of it, that it's something that, you know, now, the tradition of not having names, let's be straight about this. Okay, nobody had names on their jerseys in the 40s, 50s. Okay, nobody did. Okay, the AFL was the first one to put names on jerseys. All right, and that was in the 60s. The NFL didn't do it until 1970. But Penn State maintained that all the way through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s with Joe, and that's the tradition that people have locked in on. Because anybody before 1960 did not. In fact, if you go back to in baseball, for example, the Yankees were the first to put numbers on the jerseys. Now, you want to know why Babe Ruth's number 3?
Because he was the third guy to get a jersey?
Oh, brother. No, he was the third guy in the batting order.
I was close.
And not really. And Lou Gehrig was number 4. Because Lou Gehrig was the cleanup hitter. That's how they got their numbers.
Then how did they get the 5?
Well, whomever was 5, Bob Uzel or whomever was number 5.
No, well, see, no, I'm thinking, why did, was it, DiMaggio was 5, right?
Yeah, but at this point, DiMaggio didn't start playing until the late 30s.
No, I know. I was just curious why DiMaggio got 5 then at that point.
Because at that point, then they got away from, and people just started getting numbers for numbers.
Okay.
I'm saying the original, the reason that Ruth is 3 and Gehrig is 4 as examples is that they were the third and fourth place hitters in the lineup. That's how they got their numbers when the Yankees became the first franchise to put numbers on backs. Okay, by the time DiMaggio had come along, everybody had numbers and everybody was wearing numbers. Okay.
And by the way, Steve said earlier that I like the names on the back. I completely understand with not wanting the names on the back. My only reason for liking it is because I don't get to see as many games as most of our listeners, as well as Steve. So it's kind of nice to be able to associate the name and the number at the same time. That was the only reason I liked it. I'm a big fan of tradition myself, so.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's fine. I've always laughed, though, when people said to me, having the names on the back makes your job easier. I said, are you kidding me?
It just makes it easier on TV to watch it.
Right, I mean, no offense. We can't read names on backs of jerseys. It's too far away. I mean, you got to remember, you know, we sit further away than you do. The fans are closer to the game than we are. I mean, right? The fans are closer to the game than we are. They're closer to the field than we are. We're higher. Now, we probably have a better angle than a lot of fans do. I mean, angle means a lot. But in terms of distance away from the field, no. If you can't read them in your seat, you can be assured that we can't read them in the booth.
I always like TV numbers. I find TV numbers kind of useless because half the time they're all crumpled up and you can't see them even on TV.
Huh? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
The TV numbers. You know how they have the arm on the sleeve? It used to be like either on the sleeve or then on the shoulder pad. A lot of times when they were on the sleeve, I couldn't see any. Those are the TV numbers. I couldn't see them even on TV.
Oh, okay.
Bob from Mifflinburg wants to share his thoughts, Steve.
Bob, thanks for calling. Kevin was starting to go off in some odd tangent.
Well, I'm going to bring it back on track, okay? My feeling on
Thanks,
the angle.
Bob.
You're welcome. My main feeling is, number one, it's quite an expense. Put the names on the blue jerseys, white jerseys, practice jerseys. That's something that has to be done. It costs money per letter. Number two, announcers and spotters find it easier to identify numbers. You related, you don't look, can't see the names. They can see the numbers better than the name. If you got some long line like Joseph Gogolovich, it takes a big part.
That's good.
Okay. And the third thing that I see is possibly the only persons interested in seeing the names on the jerseys is their sons, and that's mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, brother, sister, etc. Who else? Or walking around campus with their names on the back. Hey, Gogolovich, how you doing? That's my take on it. Pardon?
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob. I appreciate that very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
800. You too. 800-795-9565. I will say this, though. In watching a game on TV, it is easier to identify who you're watching because the name is a nice supplement as you watch a game on TV. In person, they might as well have the names off the jerseys when you're watching a game in person. I don't think that really matters. On TV, it is a supplement. I mean, when you see that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I can't see anything when I'm in the stadium, whether the name's on the jersey or not.
Well, I'm saying, though, but I think it's like having an additional graphic on TV. I mean, that's the one thing I will say for names on jerseys is that it does bring an additional graphic to it. 800-795-9565 is the number. The next item I'm going to talk about, we can talk about the jersey thing all you want, 800-795-9565, actually is something that has nothing to do with this station but does have to do with our industry. And as you know, we carry the Dan Patrick Show, and Dan Patrick does an outstanding job. Dan Patrick, for years, was on ESPN Radio and then eventually left, as he puts it, the mothership. And we're very proud to carry Dan Patrick, and Dan does an outstanding job 5 days a week on WKOK, as well as across the country on his nationally syndicated show. It's been announced that Colin Cowherd's leaving ESPN. It was reported by The Hollywood Reporter and then by Variety, and ESPN has actually now, John Skipper, put out a statement that does confirm that he will be leaving, and that they didn't say what date, but Variety's reporting that Friday, July 24th is his last day. This is the third major individual to leave ESPN. Two on TV and now this one on radio. And the two on TV are Keith Olbermann and Bill Simmons and now Colin Cowherd. You may disagree with what he has to say. You may disagree with his take on sports. You may disagree with his take on social issues. You may get irritated that he talks often about social issues on what is supposed to be a sports talk show. But I do have great respect for this. He, you know, for 10 years, he went on himself and did 3 hours of talk radio a day and did so on a roll with no breaks at all. And he would do 7, 8, 9, 10 interviews during the course of the show. And you have to be able to have the ability to adjust to whatever the topic happens to be. I know, for example, let's take Friday's show, for example. Friday's show, we had on Brandon Taylor, we had on Ben Klein, we had on Erica Walsh. You know, so there was three different topics, three different sports, basketball, football, a charity would live for life, and also women's soccer. And that was all part of what, you know, the wide variety that we were able to bring to you. Then we had Tony DeFazio on as well, and we talked about the Pirates and about the Penguins. So that's five different leagues or sports that we had to talk about with guests over a couple-day period. And, you know, you have to adjust and do that. I have great respect for him and the fact that he's able to carry 3 hours of his program a day. And for them, you know, it's a major loss. It doesn't affect us in the least because we're very fortunate to already have the outstanding talents and the ability of Dan Patrick on the air here on this station. But for ESPN, this has been a really odd year for them when it looked like they were riding higher than ever. And then suddenly out of nowhere, Simmons, the $5 million man, is gone. Oberman, whom they invested in for a couple of years and had put him back on ESPN2, is going to be gone at the end of this month, and now Coward's gone. And that is a, you know, that really is a surprise to see how much has happened, and they may not be done yet. There's a lot of stories. There might be one more person to go in that group. And that's become, in our industry, but for you as a listener, a very interesting story and an interesting take that bears watching. They have spent so much money on acquiring properties. And the Big Ten, as we've mentioned several times, will be the next one to have their contract negotiated. 12-year contracts, 12 years with the ACC, 12 with the Pac-12, 12 with the Big 12, 12 with the SEC, plus they started the SEC network. And they've already taken Scott Van Pelt off SVP and Russillo, and they're going to reassign him to be on their Midnight Sports Center. And my wonder is, does anybody, I mean, how many of you actually watch Sports Center anymore? I mean, I don't know how many people do watch Sports Center any longer. And I wonder what's going on with them. They've cut so many costs, and there are rumors that they've been asked to cut $100 million. I mean, it's only a rumor, and $100 million certainly is a nice round figure. And they have a lot of properties. I mentioned those are the college properties, plus the college football playoff, plus the NBA, the NBA playoff. They pay $1.9 billion a year. $1.9 billion a year for Monday Night Football. And they feel, and they're not happy with the Monday Night Football schedule they got. They have the Cowboys on once against the Redskins. And supposedly, they asked for a better Cowboys game. There's been a thought that the anti-Roger Goodell commentaries of Olbermann and Simmons played a part in it. Coward was never a part of that. But Coward also did not like being on ESPNU. Which you can't blame them for. I mean, it's great having any show on TV, but when you have a platform like ESPN, ESPN2, and then it goes to ESPNU and news, the fall off in audience is dramatic. ESPN draws about 2 million viewers per night. That's the number one among cable sports networks. NBC Sportsnet is next, about 1.2, 1.3 million. A lot of that was built during the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then you go to ESPN2, and ESPN2 falls off to about 700,000 to 800,000 viewers during prime time. Coward's show obviously was not during prime time. It was 10 to 1 during the day. But Mike and Mike, the morning show, happens to be on ESPN2. Well, he did not want to be on ESPNU because ESPNU in the world of television is like being on a milk carton. You're missing. And so, and he got that. But that is another major loss for them on a major contract. And I'm surprised that so many of them came up due this year at once. Normally, things like that are spread out. Kevin works on a week-to-week contract.
Hour by hour.
better than I thought. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing, zero security deposit, zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax effort. Leasing and low APR financing through KMS and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
Welcome back. I was held hostage during the break listening to Kevin whine about the Phillies. Corey Seager of the Dodgers is considered to be the number one prospect. And J.P. Crawford of the Phillies is considered to be the number two prospect coming up through the minors. And Kevin says, well, how does it solve second base?
How's it solve every other? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he'll be fine. I've seen the stats on him. I've seen the reports on him. That's great. I'm glad there's somebody in the farm system good, but there's more than just one need right now.
Well, then let's discuss domino effect. The domino effect of the fact that they have Crawford in the organization helps solve, I think, part of the outfield problem because by having him there and by having Michael Franco also at third base, that has now caused Cody Ashe to be moved to the outfield. It also caused them in the minor league system to take Roman Quinn and move him from shortstop to center field where he can best utilize all that speed that he has, and he has a tremendous amount of speed. And that's where there's a domino effect of the fact that he can play shortstop. That means you can take another shortstop in your system and you can convert him in the minors to a position that now allows you to get both guys in the lineup. If they didn't have Crawford, they probably would be forced to use Quinn as their shortstop in maybe a year or two. Instead, now they can get Quinn's legs into the lineup as a center fielder as opposed to getting him in as a shortstop. And then you put Crawford in combination with Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco, and maybe you have the foundation of something. That's where Crawford being a top prospect coming through is important. See, I take the emotion out of it.
I'm fine. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but yeah, I take the emotion out. I mean, there are moments where I feel like Dr. Phil with you.
Listen, there is one date on my calendar right now that's circled, and that's Saturday, July 25th.
Okay.
Steelers training camp begins.
Yeah. Isn't their running back suspended for 2 games?
It's only a couple of games.
Tom Brady, they're going to find out, I think, next week about Tom Brady.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Well, here's the issue for Roger Goodell, and it's quite simple. Brady's already indicated that if he's suspended for any games, they're going to court. Simple as that. That if he is suspended for any games, they're going to court. I read the Wells report. While you sit there and you may think, you know, it's one thing to sit there and have suspicion, but when you suspend somebody, you better have hard evidence. And the Wells report doesn't provide any hard evidence. And that's a big problem. And you're telling me right now that Tom Brady and Greg Hardy each had the exact same suspensions. Right? Right now, Greg Hardy and Tom Brady each have the same suspensions. Am I wrong? Now, while I expect the commissioner to reduce it, Brady has indicated that if there's any game, they're going to court. Now, I believe that, say there are no games and a fine, I believe there's been an indication that he probably would be willing to pay a fine. But if there are any games that he is suspended for, they're going to court. That makes some sort of statement. Final half hour, 800-795-9565. Names off the jerseys for Penn State football starting this season, bringing back a 125-year tradition. We'll talk about that, take your calls, your feelings on that at 800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Plus, Kevin will whine about other things.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good nobbin. How are you? I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care. In Hummel's Wharf.
Where was that again, Steve?
Hummel's Wharf.
And the other one's in North 4th Street, Sunbury, right?
That's exactly right. So, it's been an interesting day with the announcement. The timing of the announcement is right. I mean, here it is. And they'll get the Lash Bash coming up this weekend. They had some alumni around. It turned out Jack was in State College today. Ironically, he's in State College and I'm not. And so they took a picture today up in the office with them today with the jerseys with no names on the back. And the timing is perfect because there's no Major League Baseball going on today. The British Open took place this morning. It's not a big news day. And so, you know, they get out there, they make an announcement like this, everybody has carried it, and it's just smart, just very savvy as to how they do things, and very intelligent as to how they do things, and something that I have great respect for as to what they do. I think camp begins, I want to say August 5, 6, something like that, right around there, that's when camp begins. It's an acclimation in the beginning, the first few days, and then I think on Monday the 10th, it kicks into high gear with the idea of getting them ready for the opener, which will be September 5th at the Link in Philadelphia. There's more talent on this team, without question, than the last couple of years because there's more available players. And that makes a big difference, more available players. So what do you think about the numbers being back in the jerseys, 800-795-9565? What about the Fantastic Four? Kevin had Chase Utley on there, and he also had Troy Polamalu and Jerome Bettis, and I had to point out to him that neither one of them were Phillies.
You didn't say they had to all play for the same team. It said, who's your four?
All right.
Four.
Okay, but let's expand this. In all seriousness, who would your Fantastic Four Steelers be?
Oh, wow. That's,
Who would your Fantastic Four Redskins be? Who would your Fantastic Four Eagles be?
Man, Fantastic Four Steelers is really tough.
Yeah, but who would your Fantastic Four be? Four in the history of the franchise. Who would that be? Who would be your Fantastic Four with the Eagles? You know, Kevin's like, hey, Tommy McDonald's great. No. But who'd be your Fantastic Four with the Eagles?
Tommy Maddox would be my number one for the Steelers.
Exactly right. And once again, that would bring with it the entire company being drug tested.
Matt Barr.
800-795-9565. Who would your Fantastic Four be if we expanded it beyond baseball and took it to football? Who would your Fantastic Four be for Penn State football?
You know, there's one guy on my list for the Steelers that you would not imagine, but Mike Webster would be on my list.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, you know, one of the truly great centers. It's a real shame what happened to him. And, you know, and Jack's talked to me several times about what happened to him. I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, it's sad.
He changed the position. I really believe he changed. And Dermoni Dawson also. They changed that position from just being straightforward, snap the ball, block the guy in front of you, because they could do so much more. Dermoni Dawson used to pull.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of centers in his era pulled. You know, I mean, that's not unusual. Kevin Bowie pulled all the time. So,
that's a tough one. I mean, Bradshaw has to be there. I think Stallworth has to be there.
Yeah.
And at that point, probably Lambert.
Joe Green. Joe Green's got to be there.
Yeah, I think Lambert and Joe Green.
Except I thought Jack was better than Lambert.
Yeah, and why did Lambert get all the attention, though?
Because he talked.
I mean, no disrespect to Jack Ham whatsoever. I mean, I met the man, a great guy, enjoy having a conversation with him. I always wondered, though, why Lambert kind of, at least, you know, from my 10-year-old opinion, got overshadowed so much by Lambert.
More flamboyant.
See, I didn't see that at 10 and 12 years old, so.
Lambert's flamboyant.
Yeah, I just kind of never noticed that, but I understand what you're saying.
800-795-9565. Who would be your Fantastic Four Redskins? Who would be your Fantastic Four Eagles? Who'd be your Fantastic Four Steelers as examples? Or you may have another team that's your favorite team. Who are your Fantastic Four Ravens? You know, like, we can do easy ones. Who are your Fantastic Four Tampa Bay Bucks? The tough part's getting four.
And will any of them have worn orange and white jerseys? I'm going to say no.
Leroy Selman would definitely be one of the fabulous four Buccaneers.
I say McKay because he was just that entertaining on NFL films.
Oh, brother.
Can't win at home, can't win on the road. We'd like to have a neutral site.
Fantastic Four Jaguars. Actually, you could do that. That'd actually be pretty easy. The Jags would be actually pretty easy. Mark Brunell, Tony Baselli, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Jimmy Smith. There you go. But who would be your fantastic, like, Fantastic Four Eagles? Who would it be? Would Wilbert Montgomery be there? Would it be Randall Cunningham? Would it be Harold Carmichael, DeSean Jackson? Would it be Chuck Bednarik? Norm Van Brocklin? I mean, who would it be? Steve Van Buren? Who would be your Fantastic Four Eagles? Fantastic Four Redskins, who would it be? Would it be John Riggins? Would it be Joe Jacoby? Could it be Russ Grimm? Could it be Sonny Jurgensen? Charlie Taylor, Daryl Green. With the Eagles, would you put Reggie White? I mean, who would be your Fantastic Four be for the Eagles? I mean, or the Redskins? Tony in Shamokin has all the answers.
Man, it's like, too, in my own mind.
you are my sage, my man.
My Fantastic Four Eagles would be Bednarik, Norm Van Brocklin, yep. Tommy McDonald, yep. and Pete Retzlaff. The only ones that won
Pete
the championship.
Pete Retzlaff wore number 44, if I remember.
Only ones that won a championship. Well, 48.
Yep, 1960. Buck Shaw was the coach.
Buck Shaw. And I think Lambert overshadowed Jack Ham because Jack Ham just made it look easy. He was never out of position.
No, he was never out of position. I mean, ever out of position.
And it helped having no front teeth. I mean, it made a great picture.
That's a good, you know what? At 12 years old, that's what I noticed. You're right.
Hey, that's all I got. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
Tony, it's good enough, my man. Thanks. 800-795-9565. Who would be on your Fantastic Four? Eagles, Steelers, Ravens,
IndyCar?
Redskins. Yeah, sure. Who'd be your Fantastic Four, IndyCar?
I don't know. I got to think about it a little more. Well, A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti.
Great.
Rick
Mears.
No, I would, there's not going to be a Penske guy on my list. Sorry. I'm biased that way. Al Unser Sr., and Michael Andretti.
Al Unser Sr. race for Penske. All right.
I know, but I have to throw him in anyway, all right? I gave one.
I'm sorry. You set a standard, and the guy you work with is smart enough to know you blew it.
All right. I forgot Al Sr. drove for Penske.
You get mad at me for remembering things. And it bothers you, I know, about IndyCar.
Oh, it's like working with Wikipedia. It's like an instant fact check.
Well, 800-795-9565. So who'd be on your Fantastic Four Penn State? Who'd be on your Fantastic Four Eagles, Steelers, Redskins, Ravens, Giants, Jets? Yeah. Who'd be on that list? I mean, I'd have Joe Green. Right. I'd have Jack Ham. I think that I'd probably have Terry Bradshaw, and I'd probably have Franco Harris.
See, I think teams like that, like the Steelers and, even the Patriots, I think it makes it tough to find four sometimes. Cowboys, that would be another tough team to find four. Not that it's hard. Let me rephrase that. It's not that it's hard to find four. It's hard to narrow it down to four. Sorry, I should rephrase that.
The Cowboys, the first two Cowboys I would think of right away would be Bob Lilly and Roger Staubach.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think Bob Lilly and Roger Staubach are certainly two that right away you look at and say, wow, okay. I would think Tony Dorsett. That list of fabulous four Cowboys.
Now, we had Dorsett. And what was the other one?
Bob Lilly and Roger Staubach.
Okay, that's three. Who's your four?
And the fourth one. Let's see. Bob Hayes is out. Just kidding. Maybe
Jeff Hogaboom?
With the Cowboys? No, that's Gary Hogaboom.
Gary Hogaboom, sorry. I got Jeff Hostetler and Gary Hogaboom merged together.
Maybe Mel Renfro. Or it could be Emmitt Smith. How about Emmitt Smith?
Excuse me.
Yeah, I for some reason merged Hostetler and Hogaboom, and Hostetler never played for the Cowboys, so I don't know what I was going on there.
No, and I just drove up his father-in-law's street, Don Nealon Drive.
I was going to say Hostetler Street, but then I remembered you said it was his father-in-law.
Yes, Don Nealon. I just drove up Don Nealon Drive. Let's see, Fabulous Four. Let's see. Be another great Fabulous Four. Let's see. I thought Tony's was great because he took them all from the 1960 championship team. No Wilbur Montgomery, no Ron Jaworski, no Bill Berge, no Reggie White. It's not as if the Eagles didn't have a great run here. No Donovan McNabb. The Steelers have certainly more than just that because, you know, you could talk about Stallworth and Swan and Troy Polamalu. You know, I mean, like, I mean, take the top three running backs in the history of the Steelers. I mean, you know, you got Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer, and John Henry Johnson, and Barry Foster.
You didn't see Troy Polamalu on my list, so you can't make fun of him. He'd be on the best hair.
Top five running backs. Top five running backs in Steeler history. Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer, John Henry Johnson, Barry Foster, and Le'Veon Bell.
Barry Foster?
Sure.
I have to think about that one. I even had a Barry Foster jersey.
I can't even believe that you're serious about this. I left Bettis out.
That's what I'm trying. I'm like, I'm sitting not, there thinking, how does Barry not, Foster it's, get in there above Bettis?
It's just not good when you have to explain the jokes.
Sad part is, I thought you were real for a minute. That's what scared me. Dave from Sunbury on the line wants to jump in with a new list.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Well, I'm going north of us a little bit. Okay. We'll start with Jim Kelly.
Yep.
Yep. Andre Reed.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Another Smith, Hall of Famer.
Bruce Smith.
Yep.
And finishing with Mr. Bald Man himself, Shane Conlin.
Well, Shane Conlin certainly had a great career with
Odell
the Bills.
I mean,
no
you know,
question.
We can... Or Daryl Talley.
Or Daryl Talley, who played here at West Virginia. You know, Cornelius Bennett. Kent Hull. Kent Hull was a great offensive lineman, another great center for them. Cookie Gilchrist at running back back in the 60s.
Yeah, Bruiser.
And obviously you have to mention O.J. Simpson.
Well... I don't mention him too
saying,
much.
If
yes, I understand.
If you're talking,
I don't mention him too much.
I mean, if you're going to talk about a football realm, you've got to mention the O.J. Simpson. You have to, and that's you don't want to, but in a football mindset, you do. You know, I mean, you can do fantastic fours in every sport. I mean, some teams are going to be more difficult than others. I'd do a fantastic four of the Celtics. Yeah, how do you do a fantastic four in the Celtics? How do you do a fantastic four in the Montreal Canadiens? My fantastic four Canadiens would be Jean Beliveau, Patrick Waugh, Rocket Richard, and maybe Doug Harvey. How do you do that? I don't know. 800-795-9565. We'll wrap it up in a moment as Kevin tries to sort out Barry Foster versus Jerome Bettis. Mano a mano on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing. Zero security deposit. Zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tags after leasing and low APR financing through KMS and well qualified customers. See dealer for details.
All right, the names are off the jerseys beginning this season, restoring a 125-year tradition. Essentially restoring a 46-year tradition because, what? Before 1960, nobody had names on the backs. Nobody. Anywhere. Any league, anytime, anywhere. And the AFL did it. Nobody else but the AFL did it for a long period of time. In fact, the NFL didn't start doing it until the merger in 70. So, and Penn State stayed true to it. I mean, Joe stayed true to it all those years and did not want names in the back. And, you know, it was that great quote he had with President Reagan where they gave him a jersey. And, of course, everybody gives the president a jersey. He is always going to have, you know, they have the name of the president in the back, maybe Bush. And when he got to Reagan got his Penn State jersey in the Rose Garden in January of 87. Well, it was actually inside the White House. It was too cold to go outside. And Joe presented him with a jersey, and he said, we want to give you a jersey, and they had number one on it. And he said, you'll know something about our jersey. He says, just plain blue jersey. And then he flipped it around. He says, no name on the back. He says, we're team players at Penn State. And Reagan loved it. So that restores that tradition. And they'll have no names on the back. Just, you know, it should increase program sales. So, which have been down across everywhere. People don't buy programs anymore. You notice that? They don't.
You know, the old adage, can't tell the players without a scorecard.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Kevin? Program sales have been down across the board. People don't buy programs as often as anymore. They just don't. And I know what the numbers are. I've seen them. And
yeah. I bet if you offered it as a digital download for a couple of bucks, people would buy it.
Yeah, maybe. But we'll do more on the Fantastic Fours tomorrow. I mean, some franchises are tougher than others. Fantastic Four Chicago Bears. What do you go? Peyton Sayers, Butkus, you know, Mike Singletary, Mike Ditka as a player. Ditka was revered as a player.
How about Fantastic How about Fantastic Four coaches?
Fantastic Four coaches. Well, Penn State's only had four. No.
Makes that one easy. That one's settled.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, since 1920, how many Penn State's had? Six?